First there was Jurassic Park, and now the Michael Crichton Summer Film Festival continues with Rising Sun, the movie version of Crichton's 1992 bestseller. The film was directed by Philip Kaufman, who made The Right Stuff, The Unbearable Lightness of Being, and Henry and June. Will the rampaging Japanese prove as seductive as the rampaging raptors? Film critic Stephen Schiff went to investigate.
Well, in the first place, the Japanese don't do all that much rampaging in this movie. Crichton's novel was paranoid about the Japanese, about how much smarter they are than we are, how much wilier, and how much more ruthless, and how they're taking over everything. In other words, Crichton was a Japan basher. Kaufman is much more politically correct, and that, I'm afraid, makes his movie pointless. If this isn't a picture that wants to scare us about the Japanese, then it's just a cop flick with sushi. At first, though, Kaufman seduces you with sheer stylishness. As Rising Sun opens, we don't know where we are. One reality seems to slide into another, and thoroughly disoriented, we settle back into our seats saying, "Ah, this must be what it's like for a Westerner in Japan." Hence, the movie's first disappointment. None of it takes place in Japan. The slick, faceless city we're seeing is Los Angeles, where a beautiful blonde has just been strangled during rough sex at a swanky corporate party in the Nakamoto skyscraper. Who done it? The powerful Nakamoto company has been trying to buy an American software firm, and it doesn't need a scandal just now. So when Wesley Snipes, as a police liaison officer, is called to the scene of the crime, he's ordered to bring along a mysterious Japan expert played by Sean Connery, who wears an elegant white beard and an array of zenned-out black Armanis. Driving through the rain, Connery presumes to instruct Snipes in the ways of the Japanese.
Keep your jacket buttoned at all times. If they bow, you bow back, same depth, same duration.
Believe it or not, I have done this before. You know, I do know these things.
And do keep your hands at your sides. The Japanese find big arm movements threatening. Keep your voice calm and even. You'll probably find them irritating tonight. But whatever happens, don't lose your temper.
I don't lose my temper.
Well, that's good to know. Now, when you start to get into trouble...
I won't get into trouble.
When you start to get into trouble, you'll hear me say, perhaps I can be of assistance. From then on, I do the talking. You stand behind me and don't appear distracted. We may come from a fragmented MTV rap video culture, but they do not.
Rising Sun is basically that scene over and over again. First, you'll get a clumsily staged action sequence, and then Connery lecturing Snipes while Snipes splutters and fumes and says, "Wait a minute, I knew that." He's playing Rochester to Connery's Jack Benny. That oddly racist element aside, these are among the blandest performances the two stars have ever given. But Connery's presence alone sets up expectations. You remember the way James Bond would always infiltrate the mysterious villain's headquarters and usher us into the seat of power for the explosive climax. And so you expect Rising Sun to wind its way into the heart of Japanese corporate life, the Hall of Mirrors where the foreigners work their sorcery. The problem, of course, is that Kaufman doesn't believe in the Hall of Mirrors or in the sorcery. The Japanese have their good guys and their corrupt guys, and so do we. Which is a very reasonable point of view. Too reasonable. In the end, Rising Sun is a thriller without bad guys. And a thriller without bad guys is no thriller at all.
Stephen Schiff is critic at large for The New Yorker.